And now, Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and what it means to be the wife of a famous star. Larry Noble's first day on the set of a motion picture in Hollywood is at least taking his mind off of his personal troubles to a certain extent. And this is what his wife Mary hoped when she asked Tom Bryson, the playwright and close family friend, to try to get Larry a picture contract on the West Coast. What Mary doesn't realize, however, is that Larry saw Tom's wire in reply to Mary's letter, and Larry is now firmly convinced that Mary wants him as far away from her as possible. Larry can understand this, since he feels responsible for the serious burns Mary received when Claudia Vincent hurled acid in her face. But at the same time, he can't help feeling hurt and deeply depressed by this apparent wish to be rid of him. Right now, Larry has just finished a scene at the Marco and Franklin studio, and as he comes off the set, we hear...
All right, crew. Start setting up for the next shot. Remember about those lights. We'll be shooting from overhead, and we'll have to watch those shadows.
Oh, gee, but you were grand, Larry.
Well, thank you, Miss Dean. Do you mean to say you were standing here all this time?
You're darn right I was. Didn't I tell you that you were my idol ever since I started keeping a scrapbook?
You didn't tell me how long ago that was, Dora. You hardly seem old enough to be out of pigtails right now.
Oh, that's a laugh. I'm no kid, Larry, even though I haven't got anything to show for all the time I've spent trying to get a decent part in a picture.
Have a little patience, Dora. You'll get there.
How do you know? You haven't even seen me act yet. And I've got the crummiest part in this picture you ever saw. And even at that, Sam Archer's always cutting it. I guess I just wasn't born to be a star.
Don't give up, Dora. Not at your age.
But I never get any of those really good parts. If only I get one of those parts that you could really do something with. You know, lots of stars started like that.
I'm sure of it, Dora.
But not me. Not little Dora Dean. She's always in the background. Nothing ever happens to her.
You may be luckier than you think. I kind of wish I could say the same thing.
What? But nothing ever happens? Ah, you must be kidding, Larry. What's the good of just going on from day to day, from here to the studio club and back again? Nothing to show for it. I want to live a little before I'm too old. I want to have things happen, to suffer.
Don't be in too much of a hurry. Often things happen that you'd give anything to change.
You mean like all that trouble you had back in New York? When they arrested you because... they said you murdered that fellow... what was his name? Oh, I know, Oliver Wilson.
Yes, that's part of what I mean.
Well, anyhow, you got out of it, Larry, and they found out it wasn't you at all, but that Claudia Vincent. Gee, I bet she was something.
Yes.
Well, she must have been batty right from the start, but nobody knew it. Not even you, did you, Larry?
No, I didn't even suspect it until it was too late.
You mean till she threw acid in your wife's face?
Yeah.
Is your wife going to be all right? Oh, you asked me not to talk about that. I'm sorry. Only, I'm so interested in anything that happens to you, Larry. What's your wife like?
That's rather a surprising question.
No, it isn't. What's she like?
She's wonderful. In fact, I guess she's about as close to perfect as a person can be.
Is she very pretty?
She's beautiful. Beautiful and kind and understanding and... and fun and... oh, in heaven's name, will you talk about something else?
Hold it on. Let the crew take 30 and then get back to the picture. We're running behind schedule today. You, Noble, better go over to the commissary and get something to eat. It'll be about 3/4 of an hour before we start shooting.
All right, Mr. Marco, whatever you say.
That last scene...
yeah?
I've got an idea it'll be all right. Just keep it up, that's all.
Are you going to get something to eat, Larry?
Yes, I guess so.
Mind if I come along?
No, glad to have you, Dora.
You can tell me right out if you don't want to be seen with me. I won't mind.
Why shouldn't I want to be seen with you? I think you're a very pretty girl.
But I'm just a nobody, and you're a famous Broadway actor.
What do you bet in the next couple of years you rise to stardom?
Gee, I don't know. It takes so long.
Well, come on and have lunch. I need someone to talk to me and keep me from thinking about myself.
Dora Dean walks happily by Larry Noble's side as they leave the set and cross over to the commissary. In the meantime, back in New York, we turn to Mary in her room at the hospital. Her good friend, the character actress Maud Marlowe, is with her again, and we hear...
Well, Mary, for once I didn't come here and find Rupert Barlow.
Oh, he's not coming till later this afternoon, Maud.
Hmm. How nice for you.
Now, Maud, I'm not going to refuse to let Rupert visit me. The time drags far too slowly as it is. And he's been awfully considerate.
So I notice. Just what do you think this is all leading up to?
For nothing, of course. He's just being nice and friendly.
And all this is an unselfish gesture toward a sick friend.
What else could it be? Oh, don't you understand, Maud? All your suspicions and ideas about Rupert and his reputation as a flirter...
Flirt? Well, I'd say that was a mild word for it.
Look, Maud, he has no idea what my face may be like when these bandages are removed and I leave here. For all he knows, I may be horribly disfigured. So let's be honest, Maud. If Rupert Barlow were the kind of man you keep insisting he is, he'd have found someone else to pay attention to by now, and I'd be forgotten.
No matter what you say, Mary, I still think the man is dangerous. The less you see of him, the better.
Well, I just can't agree with you, Maud.
Very well, then. Let's talk about something else. What's the news from Larry? How does he like Hollywood?
I don't know. Except for his wire and that note saying he signed with that picture company, I haven't heard a word.
Well, that's strange. In fact, that's very strange indeed. And not at all like Larry.
I guess he must be very busy.
Well, a person can always find time to write a short note, Mary.
And perhaps he doesn't want to write. I got a letter from Tom Bryson this morning.
Oh, well, he ought to know how Larry's getting along. He's the one who got him out to Hollywood.
Yes, I know. After I wrote to him asking him to see if he couldn't find a picture contract for Larry.
Well, what does Tom have to say?
The letter is right there on the stand, Maud. You read it.
Hmm. Oh, I didn't bring my glasses. Well, just tell me what he says.
Oh, it's all rather vague. He seems to think Larry's in a strange kind of mood.
Well, what do you mean by that?
I don't know. Tom says he's not like himself at all. He seems bitter and edgy and very downcast. I wonder why.
Well, he's likely worried about you, Mary, and being so far away.
It doesn't seem likely when he hasn't written to me in several days. Maybe he doesn't like the picture he's making. Maybe he thinks Tom Bryson got him out there on a false hope.
I told you at the time not to meddle with that idea.
But Larry was so terribly unhappy and worried about everything. About me and how I'd be when I got out of the hospital. And about all the debts that have accumulated. At least now he's working. And that takes up a good deal of his time.
You should have let him write to Tom if he wanted to try Hollywood.
But he wouldn't have done it, Maud. He wouldn't have left me if Tom's wire hadn't come when it did.
I still can't figure out why he left anyway. There's something peculiar about the whole thing, Mary. I'd have bet my last penny that Larry wouldn't leave you till you were out of this hospital.
Maud, it was the only thing for him to do. But I do wish I'd hear from him. His wire said he was happy and pleased. So I just can't figure out why Tom feels he's so unsettled.
Well, you didn't expect him to be having a lark, did you, with you lying here in the hospital? After all, you must give Larry credit for some conscience. Whatever anyone says, he must realize that none of this would have happened if he had listened when everyone told him Claudia Vincent was nothing but a cold-blooded fortune hunter.
Mary Noble doesn't say anything to Maud Marlowe's words, but in her heart she wonders if things will ever again be as they were between herself and Larry. And later this same day, Larry comes to see his friend, the playwright, Tom Bryson, in Tom's hotel suite in Hollywood. And as Larry enters the room, he says,
I got your message when I came back to my hotel, Tom. It said come over, so here I am.
Oh, good boy. Yeah, I suppose you're tired out after your first day on the set. How'd you make out?
As well as can be expected, I guess.
Well, that's not what I'd call a very complete statement.
I don't know what else to say, Tom. We've shot several scenes. Just how many, I don't quite know. But Sam Marco's apparently satisfied.
Well, how do you feel about the picture after today? You like it any better?
It's hard to tell, Tom. Everything's so chopped up in pictures. They don't just follow through. Start with this scene and do that one. Finally put them all together like a jigsaw puzzle. It's a wonder to me they ever get it to come out right.
They do pretty well, Larry. At least some of them do. But I'm anxious to have you feel confident about that picture. I do feel responsible for getting you out here, you know.
You needn't, Tom.
Well, I do.
I said you needn't.
I don't know what you mean by that. But look here, the reason I sent a message to your hotel is this. Of course, I wanted to talk to you. But aside from that, it is now about 5:30 in New York. Now, what do you say we put in a long-distance call to Mary at the hospital?
No, I don't think so, Tom.
Well, why not, for heaven's sakes? She must be wondering how you're getting along. She'd probably be tickled to hear your voice.
I think I'll wait. If you don't mind. Matter of fact, Tom, I don't think she'd be too interested.
Tom Bryson looks at his friend in astonishment as Larry Noble crosses the room and picks up a cigarette lighter and presses it, then lights a cigarette as if to indicate that this is the end of the discussion. Be sure to be listening tomorrow to Backstage Wife, the story of Mary Noble and her husband Larry Noble, famous Broadway star.